Today's share in the Dear Shu Mishnah Berurah Yomi program is Daf Kuf Ayin Beis Omud Beis in the third volume of Mishnah Berurah, and we begin Simin Shin Lamed Aleph, which deals with the halachos of Bris Mila on Shabbos. A very, very important subject, the Mitzvah Shem, one that should be coming up on a regular basis for Klal Yisrael. The Chabad starts off in Sif Aleph. Osim Kol Tzor Chemila B'Shabbos. A person is allowed to do a bris milah and all the needs of the bris milah on Shabbos. As we know, a milah bismana, a bris done on the eighth day, properly done at the right time, is docha all of Shabbos's halachos in terms of things that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. You are allowed to do if they're necessary for the bris milah. The Mishnah Berurah explains in Siv Katan Aleph, Dechsiv, because the Pasuk tells us, Uvayom Hashmini Yimol, on the eighth day you will circumcise, and this means Bayom Afilu B'Shabbos, regardless of whether it's a weekday or Shabbos, the milah is done on the eighth day, and this is, of course, based upon the Gemara. The issue footnote number one tells us a number of interesting dinim about a mohel. A mohel over here who is invited to go and do a bris milah on Shabbos will be, unfortunately, desecrated as a Shabbos there. Not everybody who has a bris milah is a Shomer Torah mitzvos, and even people that are far from religion, sometimes Baruch Hashem still want to do a bris milah. So Rav Moshe Feinstein's that style brings down. Sha'af al-pi sha'asa, normally, under normal circumstances, a person shouldn't gather around with people that are doing prohibited things on Shabbos. However, the mitzvah of milah bismana is a chiyav on the person who's doing the bris milah over here to do it, and therefore he's allowed to go and be amongst these Shabbos transgressors to do a bris milah for them on Shabbos. Likewise, if it's going to cause the person to be in a matzav, he has to travel far away from his family, and he's going to have a lack of onik Shabbos, nevertheless, Dayan Weiss, that's all. And the Minchas Yitzchak says, there's a chiyuv for a person to go and do this mitzvah if he's asked to do the mitzvah and he's capable of doing the mitzvah. And he points out, even if these are children of Mechalalei Shabbos, and there is a machlokus, a question, or minagis to do it, but there is a machlokus, a question, should a bris milah of a child that's born to parents who are Mechalalei Shabbos, should that milah be done on Shabbos? So we paskin that you should do this, and certainly this person will not have onik Shabbos involved being away from his family in this place with pritzim, so therefore, nevertheless, he paskins a person should go and do this bris milah. They shouldn't say that the Jewish people, the frum people, say not to do a bris milah on Shabbos. However, the Shevet HaLevi Zatzal Rav Vosner does bring down that if you're doing this bris milah on Shabbos, is going to cause many of them to travel on Shabbos and to desecrate the Shabbos. In that situation, it might be preferable to push the milah off until Sunday. However, you have to do this in a way that it will certainly then be done properly on Sunday, as opposed to if you don't do it on Shabbos, they'll hire somebody who is not a frum mohel or somebody who is not appropriate to do a bris milah, and they will do the mitzvah then in an inappropriate way. Then it would be better to make sure that they do it on Sunday in an appropriate way. But if they'll do it on Shabbos in an inappropriate way, then you should do it on Shabbos. Dusha footnote number two already starts discussing some of the specific details. There's a priya, the separation of the foreskin from the actual get itself before the cutting of the foreskin off. So this could involve actually a psik ratio of dam being let when you're doing the separation with the instrument. So nevertheless, Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, as well as Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, both bring down that this is permissible because he says it's not a real psik ratio that blood is going to come out. On the other hand, Dayan Weiss Zatzal, the Minchas Yitzchak brings down that it's forbidden to do this because you're creating chabura in this fashion, and Rav Vosner's Zatzal brings down, Shiroi Lassos came Erev Shabbos. It would be preferable to do this on Erev Shabbos. And if you can't do it on Erev Shabbos, then you'd be allowed to do this on Shabbos because it's not really a psik resha. Some suggest as well that you lubricate the instrument with some sort of a salve so that it won't be so sharp and it won't penetrate and cause a chabura. And there's a whole question that he brings down as to whether or not you can dip some sort of a gauze into the wine to give to the baby to drink because of the concern of tzoveya. So Rav Yashiv says that this is permissible to do. On the other hand, Rav Nissen Karel Shlita says it's not permissible to do this. You should give the baby the wine from your finger. Anyway, with that few introductory comments, let's continue now with the Mechaber. The Mechaber tells us, therefore, since you're allowed to do all the Tzor HaMila on Shabbos, this includes, for the person who's doing the Bris Mila, Moalin, you can do the Mila, obviously, Uporin, you can do the Priya, and as well you can do the Mitzitza, Umotzitzin, the notes in the Love Kamon, and then you're allowed to put some sort of a bandage on it, a poultice on it, afterwards. So these four activities, the actual Mila, the Priya, the Mitzitza, and then putting on a bandage afterwards, are all Lechatchila, permitted to be done for a Bris Mila that's supposed to be done bismana on Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah in Siv Katan Beis explains that umotzitzin means afal gav da'ayidei hametzitza hadam nitok michiburo. Even though the act of the sucking by doing the mitzitza, you're going to definitely cause blood to come out from the wound, and that would be normally an isser of chovel. So nevertheless, afal pikei motzitzin. Nevertheless, the halacha allows you to do the mitzitza on Shabbos. Why? Mishum de sakono lavlad kishelo yomotz hadam. Because the Gemara tells us that there is some sort of a danger. We don't necessarily understand, medically speaking today, what exactly this danger would be. But the Gemara tells us that if you do not do this mitzitza, it is dangerous for the baby. And therefore, the Gemara tells us that uman shelo motzas, if a moel doesn't do mitzitza, moridno, so you don't allow him to be a mohel anymore. It doesn't mean that the mila is not kosher, but you don't let such a person be a mohel. This introduces the very, very big controversy in some circles about whether mitzitza should be done today or not, and whether it needs to be done today, bepeh or not. Without going into an entire shiur, which would take hours to go through this entire sugya, let us read carefully the Chofetz Chaim over here in the Bir Halacha Dibur Maskul, Porin Umotusin. So he brings down a famous machlokis over here between the Binyan Sion and the Yad Elazar. Now, the Binyan Sion is Rav Yaakov Ettlinger. He lived in the late 1700s, early 1800s, and he was a very big kanoi, Talmud of the Chasam Sofer. On the other hand, you also had a great Talmud Chacham, Rav Elazar Horowitz, the Yad Elazar. He was the Rav in Vienna, and he was also a great Talmud of the Chasam Sofer. And he had a correspondence with the Chasam Sofer from 1837 to 1845, discussing whether Mitzitza Bepeh is Ma'akev, and is it absolutely necessary to be done. So the Chofetz Chaim over here brings down, look in the Tshuvas Binyan Sion, that's Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, Zatzal, and he points out the Hamitzitza Dafko Bepeh, that Mitzitza, he bases on Diktuk actually, on the double Loshon of the two Tzadis over here, it means that you must do this Bedafko Bepeh. The Moel must go and do an actual sucking on the wound over here, the Lo Al Yedei Dover Acher, and he holds that it can't be done via a tube or some other instrument. Shehimtziu harofim achadoshim, which in those days, the Binyan Sion said, there was this new idea to do mitzitza through a pipette or using a sponge in some way to go and suck out the blood, which would accomplish what the Gemara says is a sakon if you don't do this, and therefore it would accomplish it doing it indirectly, and the Binyan Sion and others were very strong in saying, no, it must be done bepeh mamish. However, in a tshuva, the Chofetz Chaim brings down over here, ubetshuvas Yad Elazar, he brings down from the Rav Elazar Horowitz, Zatzal, this Rav in Vienna, who had asked his Rebbe, the Chasam Sofer, in writing, and we have tshuva back from the Chasam Sofer in writing, he was a matir limtsos bespoke. He allowed them to not do mitzitza bepeh, he allowed them to do it with a sponge, which would suck out. Today we would use a pipette, and would suck out the blood from the area and accomplish what the Gemara says is sakana if you don't do this. And the Chofetz Chaim adds over here, based upon this tshuva, de beduka de yoser tov mimetzitza bepeh. In fact, this suctioning over here with the sponge or with the pipette actually is doing a better job of removing the blood over here than it would be bepeh mamish. And therefore, he says, v'afilu b'shabbos yesh lahatir b'svok. And the Chofetz Chaim paskins over here, like the Yad Elazar, that you would be allowed to go and do this on Shabbos with an instrument. And this, again, is a famous machlokis. We're not here to resolve this machlokis today. I always like to say, elu ve'elu divri elukim chayim. Those that hold, like the Binyan Sion, and say that mitzitza bepeh mamish, it must be done directly, they certainly have great, great, great individuals on which to hold and do it today. And those that hold know that you can do it and accomplish mitzitza, doing it not bepeh mamish, but doing it through a pipette, they also have very, very great talmidei chachamim to rely upon. And from a pure medical point of view, from an infectious disease point of view, I can state that there is absolutely no proven case today where it's definitely been shown that the moil was the source of transmission of a herpetic lesion to the baby. There certainly is the potential for this to have occurred, but let me state, medically, there has not been such a case proven, albeit there is some anecdotal or epidemiological suggestion that this could be the case. Lamaisa, I always say, you follow what the Rabbonim say, the Gedolim that say you should do mitzitza bepeh mamish, they should be relied upon if they're your Rebbeim, and the Gedolim that say you can do mitzitza bepeh and accomplish it, not bepeh mamish, but doing it through a pipette, you have those great Gedolim to rely upon as well. We spent a lot of time on this, and we have to go weiter. Mishnah Berurah Sivkot and Gimel explains that you can then put a poultice or bandage on this wound. They would put some sort of a medication over here on the wound. They put then the bandage on top of this wound with the poultice, with the salve that they would grind. And he says, Ein lekamen b'siv zayin. Im lo hoyelo kamen shochem erev Shabbos. We'll learn then what you should do if this wasn't prepared before Shabbos. We hold halach lemaisa that anything that you can prepare before Shabbos should be prepared before Shabbos. There are opinions that say that you can even do it lechatil on Shabbos. We don't paskin that way. But when it wasn't done before Shabbos, or if it was done but it was lost, we will discuss those dinim later on. Now we go to Sif Beis. The Mechaber writes, Kol zman shelo silek yodim in amila. When the moil is still involved in doing the bris mila, chozer afilu al tzitzin she'en ma'akvin. He's allowed to go back and cut off strands of the flesh that normally would not be ma'akev the bris mila, would be considered a kosher bris mila, but normally we would cut off those strands. So as long as, even on Shabbos, the moil is still involved in doing the bris mila, he can still cut off the things that are not essential that they be cut off. The Mishnah Berurah explains this if cut in Dalit, the after gomer lachto cha'orla, even though he's finished cutting off the orla, Obediyevet Yotzi de mitzvah mila, he technically has already accomplished the mitzvah mila. Nevertheless, afilu below elu atzitzim, if he doesn't cut off the remaining strands that he wants to cut off, mikol makom kos mashlo silek yodum en amila mikri lekelachatchila. As long as he hasn't finished the mila yet, he's still considered lechatchila involved in the mila. The kulachod milsi, and it's considered one action over here, and the cutting of these not mechuyev strands that he's going to plan on cutting is allowed. The nitach Shabbos lidachos etzla, the Shabbos is pushed aside even for this. He brings down Ayin the Chidushi Aran, Shekosev, who writes, Dafilu kvar silek yodo min achitoch, v'hischel ufro, even if he's already totally completed the cutting over here and is doing the priya, mikri adayin lo silek yodo min amila. He's still called involved in the brismila and can go back to do the tzitzim she'enu ma'akvin. The mila o priya chodo milsi, because the Ran holds that it's one continuous act, the mila and the priya. However, he says, if you're involved in the mitzitza, you finish the mila and the priya, and now you're up to the mitzitza, akishu osik mitzitza, then the round is mistapik shomim mutur b'shabbos lachzul letzitzin shenim akvin. Are you allowed to still go back and do the tzitzim shenim akvin on Shabbos? The dilma ha-mitzitza mikre rak refuah, because the mitzitza really serves a medicinal purpose. It's not, according to many poskim, an essential component of the mila, although there are opinions that say it's halach l'mosh misinai to do the mitzitza, but the simple understanding over here in the Gemara is that it's done for medicinal purposes, even if we don't understand those medicinal purposes, and therefore, if it's rak kidei refuah v'lo tzorach mila, it may not be considered that you're still involved in doing the mila. Ayin shom, looking around over there. Therefore, the Chofetz Chaim concludes in the Mishnah Berurah here. Ulefize poshut afilu mapareu acher. Therefore, according to this, if there are two individuals, they used to give sometimes one individual to do the mila and one individual to do the priya. They would mechabit two different people. So kol zman shuosik b'mitzvasa mutulo l'richon lachzor v'ligmor satzitzim shenam akvin. Then, even though somebody else is doing the priya, you would still be allowed to go back, the one who did the mila, to go back and cut off the tzitzim she'enon ma'akvin. The issue footnote number 3 points out, though, however, from the Shelus Achuvus Avni Nezer, that another person couldn't go do this, only the one who had done the mila would be allowed to go back and do this. And the Mishbur explains, Lo mashkichim b'mashu solik yodo kivan dadayin lo nigmor mitzvah smila. According to this, the fact that somebody else is doing the priya doesn't mean that you're done with the bris mila, and therefore the part that you had done that you want to do more, i.e. the cutting off of the tzitz and she'enam ha'akvin, is still allowed to be done by the first mile. Mishnah Berurah Sivkot and Hey writes, Hainu, what are these tzitzin she'enam ma'akvin? These are ritzur shobosu shenisharu. These are still strands of flesh that have remained that aren't ma'akev, you have accomplished the bris mila, but normally would be cut off. Bein me'orla, this is true whether they're from the foreskin itself, or bein me'or shepareo, or from the part of the foreskin that you're doing the priya on. Mechaber continues, he writes, Silek yodo, but if you finish doing the mila and the priya, ein ochozer el al tzitzin ma'akvin. Then, if you see that there are pieces of flesh there that are ma'akev, and it's not called having done a bris mila, then those you're certainly allowed to still go and cut off. But if there are tzitz and she'ena ma'akvin, you would not be allowed to go back once you're done fully with the formal mila and priya. You can't go back and cut off on Shabbos the tzitz and she'ena ma'akvin. Now, what are these? How do we define the pieces of flesh that are essential to be cut off as part of the bris mila and those that are not essential but are often cut off? The following are the ones that are ma'akiv. The Mishnah Berurah says, Sivkon Vav, Gam, Kain, Bein, Bemila, Bein, Priya. The Chanal, this is true for both the mila and the priya, those that have to come off. This include Basar, any of the foreskin, Hachofe, Afilu, Rov, Gova, Shalator, Bemokum, Echad. This is talking about flesh that is left, that needs to come off from the majority of the height of the atara, which is the corona, in one place. The Mishnah Berurah, Sivkot and Zayin, qualifies this further, and he says, this is true, v'kol shekein rov ha-hakefa shel ha-atara, this is true whether it's on the circumferential part of the atara, that you have most of the flesh still there, afal pishein rov gova, even if it's not on the majority of the height of the foreskin. And he says, look for these dinim further, ayin al-yaradeh, simen reish samach tal, b'veis Yosef, in the shach over there that discusses further, as well, v'ayin sham b'achronim, shenizbor, ma'nikra atara, what exactly do we define as the atara of the gid over here? And we don't have time to go into a full anatomy lesson over here, but basically, the gid, the aver of the man, is broken up into three parts, so to say. You have the shaft, you have the atara, and then you have what we call the glands. And the orla has to be removed from the glands and from the atara. Siv Gimel. The Mechaber writes, Ben Shmona, a child that is born after an 8-month pregnancy, which we had a great discussion about this in Simen Shin Lamed, whether that's considered a viable child or not. So nowadays, again, this would absolutely be considered a viable child. So we're talking here based, again, upon the times of the Gemara, when it was not a viable child. So Im Gamru Sa'arav Tziparnav, so in a situation where you can say that it's a viable child because the hair and the nails have been formed, so Mistama, as the Mishnah Berurah points out in Sivkot and Chest, Da'afta Ben Shmona Ba'alma Lav Bar Kayemahu, normally an 8-month pregnancy child is not considered viable, but here, since you have the maturation of the hair and of the nails, b'zeh shegamru aminan, in this situation we say, hi bar shivahu, it was really a 7-month pregnancy, which is paradoxically, as we've explained many times now, viable, v'yeshtui ishtai havlad b'vet nimo, and he brings that from the Mogen Avraham, that somehow the child did not come out after the 7 months when it was fully complete, but delayed and tarried inside, and is coming out in the 8th month, but is really a 7-month viable child. So in this situation, for such a child, molin also b'Shabbos, you can do bris milah on Shabbos. However, v'im lo gamru, but if this is really a non-viable child over here, and therefore there is no chiyuv to do a bris milah, afilum hu sofek ben shiva, sofek ben shmona, even if it's a sofek, maybe it's a 7-month that delayed and is really viable, or it's an 8-month that's not viable, in molin also b'Shabbos, and we don't do a bris milah on Shabbos. And the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Tes points out the same thing applies if it's a Sofik the other way. For din Sofik ben Shmona, Sofik ben Tesha, whether it's 8 or 9 month pregnancy. But Tamba Chosen, the reasoning is, the lo mechalalin on Shabbos misveka. We don't do a bris milah over here on Shabbos out of a Sofik. And maybe this child does not need to have a bris milah done because Nebuch, it's not a viable child. Even though, as we point out in the issue footnote number 8, that the minhag is to do a bris milah on a baby, Rachmona Litzlan, that dies in childbirth or is miscarried and or a child that dies shortly after childbirth, nevertheless, this is a minhag to do this, and it is not doche Shabbos. And Mechaber continues and says, if in these sofek situations, you're not allowed to do the bris milah on Shabbos, vein tzorech lomar ben shmona bada, if you know for a fact that it's a non-viable 8-month baby, again, with those days, not talking about nowadays, then you can't do the bris milah on Shabbos. Mechaber continues and he writes, vimhu ben sheva bada, if it's definitely a viable child, the 7-month pregnancy, afil lo gamru saru tziparnav, even though there's no physical evidence of maturation with the hair and the nails, nevertheless, this is doche Shabbos, molin oso. And he says as well, look in ayin yoredeh, simen rei samach vav for additional details. The Mishnah Berurah Sivkot Yud explains that we're talking about a 7-month viable child, Hainu Sheboal Osa. We know for a fact that it's a 7-month child because when the husband had relations with his wife, he then left town, Uperash Achuhu Karubra. And there were no other times that she could have gotten pregnant from him because he wasn't available. Therefore, we know for a fact that it's a 7-month child. But you're not allowed to rely on Alo Samchina Lomai, the Mistominis Abra Acher Lel Tvila, O Mishor Sheposkler Osdam. But you can't otherwise say, well, the Moto Be'ilos, but Mastama, this was occurring the night of the Tvila, when the woman is most likely to become pregnant, then you can't make such a proof, the Ein Zeh Hochocha Berura, that this is definitely a 7-month child, and then you'd sometimes have a situation, is it a 7-month or an 8-month child? So the only way you can definitely say it's a 7-month pregnancy is if you know for a fact that there was only one Be'ila, and then the husband went away. Mishnah Berurah Sivkot Yud Aleph explaining the Ramah, telling us to look in Yoredeh Simen Reish Samach Vav, because there it says, the Shamavur Das Ramah explains more the Ramah, the Sofik Ben Shmona or Ben Shiva, Afilo Lo Nigbar Sarvitzi Parna Mola B'Shabbos. He explains over there that you're allowed to do the Mila if it's a Sofik, Mimanoshach. He says, explains as follows, Dibar Mila Hushapimol. If the child's really a viable child and requires a bris Mila, you did it. Below, and if the child is really not a viable child, there's no chiv of bris milah, so then you haven't done anything wrong. Mechatik b'basa b'yamu. This is just called cutting the skin, which is of no halachic implication over here in a dead child. Because v'ein bazeh mishum chabura, there is no halachic problem over here with making a chabura, kivin the havinofu, because it's considered halachically a miscarried child. He then brings down the Bach and the Taz, passing like our Shulchan Aruch over here. However, the Elyar Abba, brings down the name of the Sefer Lecha Mishnah, Shemina Glomu Sveikos, that we do follow this Ramon and Yoredeh to be Maldi Sveikos, and he brings down the Miri as well, Shechin Das Kolag Onim, the Chin Kosav Radvaz, Similam and Beis, the Nar and Naru Pashti, each community can follow its own direction over here, both are correct. Sif Dalad. The Mechaber writes, Milo Shelo Bezmana in the Docha Shabbos. A Mila that is not done on the eighth day, then it's not Docha Shabbos. Even though now the child is healthy and you can do the Bris Mila, you wait till Sunday. You don't do it on Shabbos. The Mishnah explains this. If Konyud Beis, the Chich Siv Ubayom, when it says, Bayom Ashmi, Yimo Besar Loso, Ashmini Koi, it means only specifically on the eighth day. But if the Bris Mila is not being done on the eighth day, then you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. Number 10 brings down from Rekiva Eger's Atzal, that if a person, in fact, did a Bris Mila like this on Shabbos, you don't have to go back and do a Hatovas Bram Dam Bris afterwards, and look in this footnote for the rationale behind this. With that, we conclude today's shiur.